from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
So much to get to today. Lots of sports, but also the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So, yes, we have sports. We've got baseball. We've got football. We've got SEC Media Days. Don't worry, we've got it all. But we should update some results from yesterday and then lay out, Perloff, who is battling in the sitcom bracket today.
Yeah, I think a favorite is emerging based on the poll results we've had so far. There's one show that is just walloping people. Kentucky, like 34-0 style.
Yeah, this is John Wooden's UCLA, yes. Bruins. It's looking that way. And that show is Seinfeld right now. So the Seinfeld bracket was yesterday. Seinfeld as the one seed just demolished King of Queens. I mean, 84% to 16%. And this was the poll that got the most votes, too, and it just got whitewashed.
Well, it's funny. I just realized this was not supposed to be a Queens-themed bracket. It's funny. We do have shows that are from the same eras going against each other, but that was just happenstance.
I Love Lucy narrowly beats out How I Met Your Mother. That's 52% to 48%. That's a bit of a shock.
I'm surprised because the 50 shows have not done well. I Love Lucy. Now, I Love Lucy goes up against a really hard 3-seed.
That 3-seed would be the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, pardon me, who walks over 30 Rock, 60 to 40. This was not close. I'll give you an upset for you. Technically, the 5-seed, that 70 show, takes out the 4-seed, Brady Bunch. You were surprised the Brady Bunch even got out of the first round, right?
I mean, Brady Bunch. Yeah, I mean, Brady Bunch is a kid show. Again, we're getting out of this. Like, did adults watch Brady Bunch and think that was funny? Like, is that that was a structural issue that we've had from the beginning. Brady Bunch is cute, but it's not funny, is it?
Well, I mean, taste. That's your taste level, right?
No, but it wasn't designed to be.
Some people don't think Big Bang Theory is funny, but it's a huge show.
But Brady Bunch was designed to make a 10-year-old laugh, not a 30-year-old laugh. Right? That's not taste. That's like it was marketed specifically for little kids. Anyway,
along with Saved by the Bell. So those are the results from yesterday in the Seinfeld bracket. Now we turn to today, which is the Simpsons bracket, where the Simpsons is the number one seed.
The Simpsons.
They are taking on the 8th seed, The Big Bang Theory.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state. Then nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids,
there you go. So So that's the 1-8 matchup that is live in the next minute or so. The 4-5 matchup in the Simpsons region is the Jeffersons.
Well, we're moving on up.
We're moving on up.
To the east side.
We're moving on up.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up.
We're moving on up.
To the east side.
All right. And the Jeffersons, man, what a great theme song. And also reminds me of the moment if you ever go out to karaoke with your friends when everyone's totally plastered and you start doing the TV theme songs. Does anyone else get there on the karaoke nights? All right, just me. The 5 seed in this region is Martin. Okay, so that's the 4-5 is Jeffersons up against Martin. We move on. This is the Simpsons region, the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket. The 6 seed is the Golden Girls.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Very good. Goes up against the 14 seed. People were very mad at this one. They thought this was underseeded. Family Guy.
It seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
But where are those good old-fashioned values on which we used to rely?
This is the best matchup ever.
It's so good.
Not two more opposite shows in the history of television. Like a feel-good show about a bunch of retired women versus The Family Guy. Oh, my God, bring it on. And by the way, a lot of fans of Golden Girl. This could be closer than people think.
I think this is going to be close. All right, rounding out the Simpsons region, the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket, the 2nd seed, a behemoth, The Office. Faces the 7 seed in this region. That would be a little show called Family Ties.
I bet we've been together for a million years.
I think I've seen every episode of Family Ties. I had no idea that was the theme song. Like, did you?
Extended version of it.
I was like, is this like Africa by Toto?
What's the lyric? What's the name of that song?
I thought it was like, What Would You Do? Or something like that.
Should we listen to a little more of it? Can we speed up to the bridge? No? Okay.
Any predictions for this bracket? I think The Office Family Guy in the next round, if that does happen, that is a battle royale. And the winner of that goes probably against The Simpsons. It is a very interesting bracket because I think all 3 of those shows, I think Big Bang's way too low at 8, but that probably will not get out of there.
I think a really big one could be, and if you're playing this out, and yeah. I think you're right, Family Guy against The Simpsons. Is that like a Jordan LeBron type of situation?
No, because
The Simpsons is still on and still.
Yeah. So, yes, but I feel like
Your taste, like when you were born. Now, what?
I just think that Simpsons was there first. Yeah. Maybe it is Jordan LeBron in that sense. Like, it's going to be hard. I don't know. Because Family Guy, like, I don't think they compete against each other. Like, Family Guy feels like an homage to The Simpsons. And Simpsons was there for longer. So I feel like Simpsons would be a favorite in that one. But I don't know. There are these Family Guy stands here. And then again, I know so many people love The Office. And people rewatch that. It's done well in syndication. That's so maybe true. that's a sneaky one. Watch Golden Girls come out of here. That would be that'd be amazing. Then we could, yeah. Or who's alive in the Golden Girls?
Out of the cast?
Yeah, Rue McClanahan, right?
No. I think they're all gone.
Are they all gone?
No.
B. Arthur died recently, I remember.
They're all gone.
No,
Betty White died recently.
Oh, didn't B. Arthur die, or am I imagining that? I hope. Oh, God.
Dangerous territory.
Yeah. She died in 2009.
Yeah. I think Betty White is the one, unfortunately, the person who passed away recently, most recently. Did you guys ever watch that show and there was like a rumor that the mom, Sophia, was actually a young person just dressed in the costume?
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
She was all of them.
What's that?
She was like younger than everybody else on that show.
Right. Big Zuzan with us today at our Zoom-in. But here's the, Was she, though?
Yeah, she was younger than Bea Arthur and Betty White for sure. I'm a Golden Girls stan over here.
Really? Yeah, I'm looking at now. She was born 1 year after Betty White.
But when did she pass away?
Yeah, 1 year after Bea Arthur. 2009. 2008, sorry. Estelle Getty passed in 2008.
Wait, Zoo, you're young. How old? You're 20?
I'm 28 now.
How did you find Golden Girls in syndication?
Obviously. It's just all over the place, you know? And then I listen to that theme song. It's good. And then the first time you watch an episode and you got the Grandma Sophia coming in and she just starts talking, it's one of the funniest things. Like, it just hits you out of nowhere. And, yeah. And I was hooked ever since. They just got, you know what they got? They got that feel-good moment, and they got that classic 90s just, like, raunchy kind of comedy.
Sure.
But not too raunchy. Yeah. You know, very classic.
It's network TV.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I was like, Rube McClanahan was always kind of, like, hitting on younger guys. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Like, there was definitely some adult jokes hidden in there.
Oh, without a doubt. They're always, any time that she's popping on screen, they're like, Blanche, you know. And then it's, like, always some, like, dirty line that they're saying. Like, real deep Southern type talk, too. I'm like, okay, I'll see you girls.
Golden Girls.
In my head, the Golden Girls always lived by the people on Empty Nest. Right, because they had the same type of set.
Oh, the exteriors, yeah.
Same exteriors. It felt like they were like right next to each other.
That whole era lived near each other, but they all had the same sets. Where was it? Supposed to be Florida?
Florida, definitely. Florida, I mean, this looked like where my grandmother lived. And I used to watch the Golden Girls with my grandparents, and it was like that, you know, the Florida, the type of grass they have, how everything's one level for the most part. It just looked exactly like where my grandma lived.
Have you guys ever heard about at old folks' homes that there's like a lot of VD?
Yes.
That started with the Golden Girls because they were frisky.
Yo, the Golden Girls set a trend out there in the geriatric community. I love it.
They weren't in a nursing home, though. They all lived together.
Well also, too, like in communities, like, yeah, there are a lot of players out there.
The line in Little Miss Sunshine, if you remember that movie, with Alan Arkin,
right?
When he's like, I'm not endorsing this. This is a line from the movie. He goes, when you're young, you're crazy to do drugs. And when you're older, you're crazy not to do drugs. But the Golden Girls was phenomenal. The archetypes, fantastic. The theme song on point, but goes up against Family Guy. This is the thing about Family Guy being seated 14th. It's really created a lot of issues in this bracket.
How did this bracket come to be? Because I feel like you have four winners in this bracket right now. You got
just
Golden
this
Girls.
Region.
Yeah, just so that's what I mean, this region right here. You got Golden Girls, Family Guy, you got The Office, and I mean, you talk about The Simpsons up top.
Honestly,
I mean, it's crazy.
But Martin is very big for a lot of people, too.
That's what I mean. That should be at least getting to an Elite Eight. This might get knocked out this round.
Well, you should see.
Too much.
I think you're underestimating how many good sitcoms there are. All the brackets are like, there's one bracket that has Friends, Modern Family, and something like Cheers all going against 1, 2, 3.
Married with Children.
And Married with Children. Yeah, this is not even the heaviest of the heavyweights. I think Seinfeld. Seinfeld region is like, that's the one, and like that's got the number one seed. This region's a bet. I wouldn't want to take a bet on this one. I mean, yeah. What does Vegas say, Maggie? They like the Simpsons barely.
I think the Simpsons is probably gonna get through. To win the whole thing.
No. With this bracket, they like the Simpsons.
I think they like the Simpsons coming out of this, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get some upsets here. So anyway, you can go to @MaggieandPearl on X and you can vote. You can go to @MaggieGray if you want to watch the show live on X too. We do that as well. Okay, we've got the AFC South to break down today. We're going all through this division, which again was like known as the wake me up when it's over division that has now completely turned around. This has at least three wildly intriguing teams, Perloff, and I can make a case for all four, and we're going to talk about it next. It's Maggie Perloff.
What would we do, baby, without us?
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We are doing our greatest sitcom ever bracket, and last segment we revealed the newest bracket. We have Simpsons going against Big Bang Theory, Jeffersons versus Martin, Golden Girl, Family Guy, and The Office versus Family Ties. And Pete played part of Family Ties that Maggie and I didn't recognize. I think this is the lyric to the Family Ties theme that makes more sense. I kind of remember this. So you could go vote at Maggie and Pearl. You recognize that, right?
Definitely. Now I get it.
Yeah, you played like the instrumental part.
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think not to to bash our executive producer. I don't think he knows anything about the 80s TV sitcom.
Oh, he's never seen half these shows.
He wasn't alive. Like, in his defense.
That's true. But
we were coming up with this bracket. He's like, well, I tried to honor the old shows, and he's like doing a show from like 1949, like when radio was like just turning to TV. Right. Yeah, it's like the old shows to him is like, he's like, yeah, I'm
Boy
sorry.
Meets World.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry, I haven't watched ancient shows like Friends. You know, like, oh man, if you want to feel old, talk to sitcoms about EJ. Okay, AFC South, we're talking about is. You said earlier, like, it went from the worst division in football, like, you really wanted to play the AFC South, to, oh, man, they geared up quickly. And the one team to me that just geared up the most is the Houston Texans went from having J.J. Watt and being a wild card team to irrelevant to now all of a sudden on paper, this is like the team. I mean, top four. There is not a single show me a place on the team, Maggie, where they're not elite. I mean, every single level, every position group, you could argue they are in the top 10 in the league, except maybe running back. But their quarterback, C.J. Stroud, is great. He's coming in his second year. Great wide receivers, great offensive line, great defensive line, amazing linebackers, great secondary. They have it all.
It's amazing. You know, I the only thing I think about with this team, because you're right, this has been, you know, we're used to, you know, some somewhat quick turnarounds in the NFL, but this one feels almost meteoric, right? Like, this rise, and it's definitely behind, you know, C.J. Stroud. And yes, all the position groups you could say are top five in the NFL, but obviously Stroud is the piece that holds it all together. And I think that Stroud has now created this bar for other rookie quarterbacks that is almost going to be impossible for them to hit. You know, it's like, even Peyton Manning had a terrible rookie year. You know, it's really hard to come out, especially with a team that's, you know, quote unquote, like not great. And you set the league on fire. And with Stroud, I just think every quarterback, and I'm especially looking at Caleb Williams, like it almost feels like you have no room for any kind of, you know, hey, welcome to the league or easing in, because look at what everyone's going to say. Well, CJ Stroud just did it. And he was, you know, in a lot of ways kind of ripped apart in the pre-draft process, let alone somebody who's got all the hype in the world like Caleb Williams or any of the six quarterbacks who were taken in the first round. C.J. Stroud has now moved the goalposts on what you expect from a rookie QB.
Well, right. I mean, C.J. Stroud was coming out of Ohio State where everybody, all the Ryan Day quarterbacks had not really done well. Justin Fields was a disappointment. Dwayne Haskins was a disappointment. Everybody thought, oh, you can throw 40 touchdowns at Ohio State, but look who you're throwing to first-round picks. So, yeah, I remember the anti-C.J. Stroud takes. I think I had a couple of them, to be honest. But, he's amazing. The one thing, the only argument I have against that is, like, this year's quarterback class was pretty insane. You had six guys in the first 12 picks. Some of them are in pretty good situations. I feel like there's going to be some good rookie years. I'm just doing math here.
Or maybe this is the new thing.
Well, I don't know if they're going to match Stroud last year, but, I mean, I think Jaden Daniels, if he's healthy, is going to be fantastic. Caleb Williams, perfectly. Look at Caleb Williams' receivers. He's perfectly set up for success. Drake May is in a tougher situation.
No expectation.
Yeah. Maybe he's C.J. Stroud. You're right. We had no expectations for him. But it does feel like it might be a trend now more than an outlier, because there's going to be a good rookie out of this class. There has to be. If you throw six darts at the board, one of these guys is going to be a star, Maggie.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, so that's my one thought about the Texans. Then I have another thought about the Houston Texans, and you just outlined it. It's on paper, this is a phenomenal team. Is it all a little too good to be true? That's it. That's the only thing, and I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm just like, because if you look at this is a team that should go to the playoffs, that should win another playoff game. Is it all a little too good to be true? Now, I can tell you from my own team, the Buffalo Bills, I do not envision Stephon Diggs being an issue. I don't know who out there is thinking that he's going to be a bad egg or whatever and he's going to cause problems. I do not think that is going to be an issue. In fact, I think it's the opposite. He helps quarterbacks. I know he may have worn out his welcome in Buffalo and maybe even in Minnesota, but I'm telling you, he helps QBs more than he hurts them. So I don't think that Diggs is going to be a problem.
I mean, yes, I totally agree with that. Like, that's funny. They don't need Diggs at all. Like, they have Nico Collins is a true 1A now. Tank Dell is probably one of the better twos. And they got like three other receivers, Noah Brown, John Metchie, Robert Woods. They traded for Scrum. They have so many guys. They have Dalton Schultz, the tight end. And that's a offensive coordinator who loves to hand the ball off. If anything, Diggs will get less targets, so they better win. You might hear some grumbling from him. Being said, like, this defense, they're built like the Niners. This is D'Amico Ryans as their head coach. Like, their defensive line is insane. Like, they should just destroy people defensively now, which they did not do last year. So they want to win like the Niners. They don't want to win. I don't think they want to be a high-octane offense. I think they want to beat you with all sorts of diversity on offense. And then look at their defensive line. Will Anderson on one side, Danielle Hunter on the other.
Yep.
Then D'Amico Autry, who had 11 sacks coming up the middle. Their linebackers are ridiculous studs. Christian Harris, you saw in the playoffs last year, he's going to be great. They're just like totally loaded. They need their short one cornerback.
Derek Stingley.
Stingley's a superstar.
See, Michael Lombardi said he's better than Sauce Gardner.
No, I did not. But yeah, number three overall pick. But I know they brought in Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State. And I did see a headline like, ooh, there's a reason that Detroit got rid of him. Like, remember, he was like a top, he was fourth, I think. That did not work out. So anyway, there are a couple little holes there, but I don't know. The schedule's tough. I know you're saying about too good to be true, but these guys are healthy, like, they're going to steamroll people.
I know. It's just, do you have to see another year of it with Stroud? I don't know. I mean, he's set up for so much success. And to be honest, like, the schedule it's not terrible. I mean, your bye is late, and coming out of the bye, they're one of these teams that plays the 3 games in 10 days thing, because they're playing December 15th, 21st, and 25th, and it's Miami at Kansas City and then Baltimore. It's a really tough way to finish out the season. But, you know, there's a lot of
games
here.
I think Baltimore's the same. They have that Wednesday game. Yeah, I would load manage one of those. Their defense, like, how are you going to stop Will Anderson? Like, who do you block there? Danielle Hunter's unstoppable. I find it, like, on paper, give Nick Caserio credit for building that so quickly. This is the formula, Maggie. Rookie quarterback, rookie deal. Just load the team with talent. It's worked in recent years. I think it's going to work again. I love this team.
And I think you and I are probably going to be aligned on this one, picking them to win the division.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I think the question about them, are they the biggest favorite in any division? Well, the Chiefs, obviously, but they're close. They're in that discussion. Like, if there are 8 divisions, I think 4 of them seem like strong front runners, and this is one of them to me.
Okay, we will continue our breakdown of the AFC South, a division that all of a sudden got very interesting, and C.J. Stroud is a big reason why. Peter Schwartz is in with us this morning doing updates. Hello.
Good morning. Hello. Dodgers outfielder Teoscar Hernandez won the home run derby in Arlington last night, and it was exciting, at least in the final round, as he edged Royal shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. 14-13. And he explains how he was feeling towards the end of the derby.
Oh, man, I was nervous. Not when I see that ball, the last one. When he still got 2 outs and one home run to tie with me. And then the last shot that he got, he was a little, like, too close to tie. But thank God it didn't went out. So super happy.
And he became the first Dodger ever to win home run derby. Now, somehow down the road, years from now, people will not be talking about Teoscar Hernandez winning the home run derby. They will talk about what happened before the home run derby.
Oh, boy.
And that was the national anthem, which was delivered last night by country music singer Ingrid Andress.
With broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
All right. Gets worse.
Yeah, that part is not that bad.
That's not that bad.
No, that's actually pretty impressive. She has a good voice, but then it goes off the rails.
It goes off the rails.
And the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag.
By the way, that first part, I totally disagree. Like, my wife said she was so off key, she had to turn her off 1 second in.
Oh, God.
She was not. Said that was not a good voice, and you're right, it did get worse.
Oh, say does that. star-sprinkled banner yet waved o'er the land of the free.
There you go.
Sit in that crowd.
I mean, not the worst, but...
It's the second worst I've ever heard.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's definitely... I mean, obviously Carl Lewis won, but what do you mean not the worst? What was not the worst about it? I mean, Enrico Palazzo was worse.
Enrico. Yeah. Do we have a lot of Enrico?
I don't feel so bad about my performance.
Yeah. At first, I thought the music, going back to the woman last night at the Home Run Derby, I thought maybe the audio was off on the Fox or ESPN broadcast. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh, she's just trying to be avant-garde. You know, she's trying to do something. Now, this is
her own twist on it.
But this is a unique spot. You know, doing the national anthem in Texas is a unique spot to all of a sudden go avant-garde. She is a country music singer. I think this one you pretty much just play down the middle. But yeah, at the end, I think she lost her way.
I didn't feel after hearing that
from note one, she was awful. Yeah. That's terrible.
For after
the
hearing it,
land of the free.
Awful.
I don't feel so bad about how I performed Take Me Out to the Ball Game last night.
That was a vision last night, yeah. Peter. I mean, this has got it. So, Peter, you're doing the
public address
for the
New York Rise professional softball team
now,
on Long Island.
You approach them.
No.
I approached them
about doing PA.
Right.
But they approached me about singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game last night.
Got it. Do something
a little different.
Take me out to the ball game.
You should have declined.
I tried to.
Yeah, a couple things. Wow. I've heard like renditions of Happy Birthday at like a 5-year-old's birthday party that have been more on key than that.
When they approached me about it, I got the email. I discussed it with my wife, Cheryl, and she says, you cannot do that. There is a reason why you talk on the radio.
Yeah, not saying.
And I said to them, I said, you do not want me doing this. I really didn't want to do it. And they said, no, we really want you to do it.
I don't believe that you didn't want to do it. I think you do want to do it.
Well, no, I wanted to do it.
Give the crowd a little something.
Yeah, but it was okay. I was worried about it all day, and I had fun with it. No, we'll see. I don't know if they'll ask me to do it again tonight. We'll see if I have to do it again tonight.
Maybe you should, you know.
Get another crack at it?
I was going to say, Tiki Barber is around here in the afternoons, and he was on Broadway, so maybe he can give you some pointers.
Well, I mean, we've been entertained by Peter singing many times in the past.
Macarena has boyfriend who they call by the name of Vitorino. And when he left to sign up for the army, she was giving it away to his two friends. Macarena has a boyfriend who they call by the name of Vitorino. And when he left to sign up for the army, she was giving it away to his two friends. Give a little love into your Bonnie Macarena.
Oh my gosh, that was that was our one-hit wonder bracket.
Yeah.
During the NCAA tournament.
You kind of let Ingrid Andress off the hook here.
I think our audience is
stuck with you saying it, take me out of the ballgame.
And Macarena. Oh, gosh. Well, good luck with all that tonight.
I'll probably practice when I get home if they ask me to do it again tonight.
Well, I'm assuming also you do carry a phone with you.
I do.
You could have like someone else singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game and just hold it up to the microphone.
Yeah. I suppose that would be the easy way out.
You're not a quitter, though, Peter.
No,
I don't. Listen, I
teach my kid. Once you start doing something, like, don't walk away from it. Yeah.
I just love that they were like two verses ahead.
No, I'll explain what happened. That was not my fault.
The crowd
because
got ahead
they,
of you.
In the script, it said, Peter leads Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and then we have a stadium host.
And they
host.
Didn't follow properly.
Yeah, right.
I said, okay, we're going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Allie is going to help me. And they play the music. So I start to sing it. And then she's... was talking while I started to sing it. I don't know why she started talking.
Sounds like finger pointing here.
Well, I am finger pointing because I'm gonna, because as much fun as I can poke at myself, yeah. I do want to point out when it's something is not my fault. She's a lady. Oh, whoa, she's a lady.
Can I give you one thing you should do? Do it like the Cubs at Wrigley. We go end of one, end of
yeah, but
two,
I don't want to steal Maggie. I don't want to like rip off somebody else's thing. I have to come up with my own shtick.
Well, I'm just saying, so everyone starts at the same time.
Right. Well, that's good. Yeah. We have to have the pregame meeting tonight. We're going to have to hammer that out if this is going to continue.
Many emails. I should probably get on a Zoom before this to work it all out.
I got you, Moonlight. You're my starlight. I need you all night. Come on, dance with me.
What song is that?
That's Dua Lipa levitating in AI Peter Schwartz.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're AIing me now?
Yes.
You don't even need to AI Schwartz. There's nothing better than real Schwartz.
Just open the mic.
Yeah.
Give me the script and I'll read it.
That's so great.
It's raining men. Hallelujah. It's raining men. Every specimen.
Wait, is that AI or real?
That's AI.
That's not me.
That's a new game we should play. Is this AI or is it
tall,
really?
Tall, blonde, dark, and lean, rough and tough and strong and mean.
That's awesome.
Wait.
Imagine if Peter Schwartz was the lost member of the Village People. I don't even know who's saying it's raining men. It's probably not the Village People.
It's Hall & Oates.
The Weather Girls.
Hall & Oates.
No, what's their song that's like it's raining men?
I forgot. It should be a Village People song, but it's not.
Also, that song.
I forgot who sang it's raining men. Was that in our
The Weather Girls.
Is that who it is?
The Weather Girls.
Oh, I used to get Maniac. That's right. Hall & Oates, right?
No, Maniac was
Michael Cimbello.
Right.
Maniac. Yeah, that's not Hall & Oates.
That's from Flashdance.
Yeah.
Haha. Sorry.
Good call.
Oh, they have Maneater. That's the one.
Maneater. That yes. is Hall & Oates.
Yeah. Sorry. That's what I was thinking.
Well, Peter, I think you got a whole night ahead of you.
Yeah. Day of planning.
Here's a question maybe for the poll. Who sang it worse, Peter or the woman last night? She's Grammy nominated. I'm sure, a couple local Emmys. Well, but
at least she has something to fall back on. I have, it's not like I'm going back to another singing career. It's just Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
I know. This could do damage for her.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it gave a little bit of juice to last night. That was not a star late in Home Run Derby.
I was going to say, what was an O? It was a bad omen.
It was funny
to do a duet with her.
When they cut to the players and Alec Boehm is like clearly stifling a laugh, that was amazing.
Well, think about it. You're Alec Boehm, 162 games a year plus the regular season. You have heard this anthem so many times. He's heard this more often than the regular person. He knows good from bad.
In the home of the
Some of the other players are like, wait, what is going on? Well, the other guys are like, is this here? Am I hearing? By the way, one of her singles is called Wishful Drinking. This is Ingrid Andress, who is a very
sounds like our chat.
Celebrated singer. I think she was doing some wishful drinking or wishful something before she got there. Is this good for her? Is she like more famous now? I don't know.
Oh, maybe. I mean, everyone's calling her that woman who sang the anthem.
Yeah.
Is if you will ascribe to the all publicity is good. Is this good for her?
The best anthem is, and I've said this before, best anthem of all time is when Mo Cheeks came out and helped that little girl in Trailblazers.
Yeah, it was a heartwarming moment.
She lost the lyrics. So my daughter and I, we played this last night. My daughter's kind of a singer. She loves plays and stuff. And she's like, oh, that's terrible. I'm like, you want to hear a really bad one? I played Enrico Palazzo for her from Naked Gun for the first time. And she thought it was the funniest thing she ever heard, which made me wonder, she's 12. Can I show her Naked Gun? Is she ready for a late 80s comedy?
Oh, man. She's not going to get some of the jokes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, I barely remember. Why is Dr. Joyce Brothers in the booth? Like, there are a lot of jokes.
Yeah, she's not going to know. She's not going to get that one.
Maybe she can be on Saturday Night Live next season, kind of like, make up for it and actually sing her own music.
Oh, this girl? Yeah. I'm thinking for your daughter, Emma. I'm thinking about it now. I probably saw Naked Gun when I was 12. There's some funny jokes there for kids.
Yeah, a bunch of bombs in the air made her die laughing.
it's a great laugh.
And then she asked me to sing it. I'm not going to do it for you now. I'm like, It dawned on me, I do not know the words. I'm sorry, I don't know if that's unpatriotic, but it's hard.
Once you don't know the words of the national anthem?
Every line, no. I'm not good at memorizing the song lyrics. You could do the whole thing off memory, like right now?
Definitely. We're in sports. We've heard this national anthem so much. I remember covering basketball games. I'm listening 41 times every home game.
Wait, you guys could all sing national anthem off the top of your head?
Yeah, I mean, I'm bad at it. I'm worse than this woman, but I definitely know the words.
Wow. Sorry.
I might bomb a couple words, but I got it.
It's, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail by the twilight's last gleaming, who brought stripes and bright stars through the perilous night.
I think you missed a couple of words there.
Did I?
Yeah. Like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Is it the perilous night or fight?
Now I think it's...
It's a bunch of bombs in the air. Like,
that's the only thing. Like, they don't make any sense.
You know, it's actually the kind of song you actually have to sing it to get the words. You can't just say it.
Yeah, but there's
I'm not
going
to do that on it.
There's this line, "Over the ramparts we'd watch so gallantly streaming." Like, that's hard to do. Like, yeah. I would have to practice like crazy.
Well, yeah. Darius Rucker said it's the hardest thing to do.
A lot
but apparently you could memorize. You've heard it so many times, you knew it off the top of your head.
Well, I think I've got it. I think I do. But I can't say I can sing it well. I think I just know the words.
Yeah, a lot of singers decline invitations to do it because they don't want to be bothered with it.
It's like the dunk contest, you know? Guys, stars are just begging out.
Wait, I don't think you got everything you said right either. Unless I'm reading the wrong lyrics.
Do I have to do this now? I don't want to do this on air. Singing is so bad. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail in the twilight's last gleaming? Who brought stripes and bright stars?
You're way off. Forget it. You're gone already.
Really? What words did I miss?
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's
last gleaming?
Whose broad stripes?
Oh, I said brought.
Who brought in stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight?
Oh, the ramparts we watch were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a terrible singer, but I know the words.
Yeah,
I'm pretty close.
Did you know who's broad stripes and bright stars?
I thought it was broad stripes. Pardon me. Broad stripes. It's broad stripes.
Broad stripes.
Apologies.
Okay, yeah. I'm just saying, it's not that easy of a song. You looked at me like I was crazy because I had to memorize. So I got, oh, say, can you see by the dawn?
You're looking at it now.
Right, no, but I'll tell you where I got with my daughter. What so proudly we hail at twilight's last gleaming. Then it started going way south. Brought stripes and bright stars to the night's early dawn or something. I was just making up lyrics at that point. Or the ramparts. Yeah, I did exactly like he did. And then I did definitely do a bunch of Rico Palazzo and made her laugh. So that's the key.
There you go. Well,
so
Teoscar Hernandez won the whole thing.
Yeah.
What's that?
So she was bad.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, I thought Teoscar Hernandez a little hungry at that home run derby. Like, he really wanted to win that thing. Is that cool? Like, if I'm in the home run derby, I pretend I don't want to win. He was
not going to get you anywhere.
I don't know. Like, everyone else was acting too cool for school, and he was like, I thought he was going to cry when he was losing at the end. Thought he was a little too into it.
Yeah, but if you enter it, don't you want to win it if you enter it?
You have to play it cool at the home run derby?
Yeah. No, like Alec Baum's like, I don't care if I win or lose. Bobby Witt Jr.
But he lost.
Yeah. But he came in and said, no one thought I'd be here. And he lost. He was like, laughing. Yeah, it was really fun, right? Where it's like, Teoscar Hernandez was really, really into it. Like, he really wanted to win. No, I think, like, the big sluggers, they don't care, right?
I wouldn't mind taking a dive in the home run derby.
Yeah, I think it's terrible for your swing. They take 200 cuts.
Yeah, I would try to get out of there as fast as I could and just relax, watch everybody else try to hit home runs. And then
that's essentially what Pete Alonso did last night.
Right.
So. And I think that can conclude our Pete Alonso competing in the home run derby. We've got it.
That's
five times.
Yeah, what happened there?
I thought the guy pitching to him wasn't great. Jouse has been with him the whole time, and he was just off. Oh well. Try to go win actually a playoff series.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is, as a Mets fan, you got to be like, this does not matter.
But
this,
if they trimmed it down, again, if they, let's say they just put four guys in there. Let's say they had the four best home run hitters, and they just made it just a little less taxing on them. It would be a better visual for everybody, and it would be easier for the players.
But cut it down to, that's a good idea. Like, cut it down to 10 pitches.
Right. But
have a crazy anthem called a night.
The four best guys have two rounds, and that's it.
Well,
one, two, three, you're done.
But they're not going to do
it. It's Major League Baseball, so next year they'll probably just start a runner on second. Pete, thank you so much for that. Coming up, we check in with our favorite college football coach next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We check in on Deion Sanders. And this is actually a commentary about the Colorado program. Perloff, and normally we don't just listen to what everyone in the media has to say because, you know, we're too busy making our own statements and having our own opinions. But this one we paused on because Paul Feinbaum on ESPN had this to say about Colorado and Deion Sanders.
I know that the media loves this story. We fall all over ourselves. But Colorado isn't important in college football. Deion Sanders is. He's a standalone person. He's one of the most charismatic people we've ever seen. But Colorado is nothing. They don't matter. They're irrelevant in the big picture of college football.
Okay, so that was Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, it's a great question. So can Deion be relevant in Colorado irrelevant? Because isn't Deion Colorado?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you're really splitting hairs here. I mean, Deion is the face of the program, and if he's relevant, then therefore Colorado is relevant. I think what Feinbaum is trying to say is that Colorado's not a national title contender and may not be a college football playoff team. That's fine, but don't say they're irrelevant. I think that you have TV ratings that would suggest otherwise. And again, if you have the most famous, you know, high-profile coach, then that means that people are paying attention to the team, and that's what relevance is about. I mean, in some ways, I guess it's about winning, but it's also just about, do people care? And I do think people care about whether Deion succeeds or fails.
Right, but I think that's the why Feinbaum is saying this. Like, why are the ratings high on a 4-8 team? Like, what happened last year, and I agree with him, was totally ridiculous. We all got caught up in the hype. I did, too.
Yeah.
We got caught up in the hype, and I think we overrated what Colorado was going to be. So I think that's why he's saying it. I think it's the backlash to the natural. It was one of the most overhyped teams in the history of sports. Like, we all, when they went 3-0, we're like, oh my God, Deion's going to make the playoff. I fell into it too. I'm not like above this. So I think what he's pointing out is like, oh my God, that was just a ridiculous stance. We all got caught up in the frenzy.
Okay, but I also think it's maybe going too far in the other direction to say now they're irrelevant. You know, I don't know how many games they're going to win this. None of us do. But I still think they're going to be a story, and it's not just about Deion. It's also about Shador. Like, let's not forget, a lot of people who watch college football are watching because they love college football, and a lot of people are watching because they're looking at which quarterbacks and which players are going to be great on the next level. So Shador being a top, I don't know, top five, top 10, definitely first round draft pick, also makes Colorado interesting.
But I
and
don't
Travis
know.
Hunter, too, is a star.
I think we'd watch him anyway. He's a Deion. But that being said, if that's true, you could still make an argument they're the most overhyped team in the country because their coverage is still going to way, way outstretch their success on the field. So I think
what if Shador is a legit, like, could go number one overall? Do you still think we're overhyping them?
Yes. Because honestly, if they are the most watched team in the country, they should be close to the best team. If they're 7-6 and they are the most rated team, like, there's something weird about that. That's where you get the overhype. Like, yeah, they shouldn't be the highest rated team. Like, Georgia should be the highest rated team. There's a logic there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You should judge them on wins and losses like every other program. But Deion's such a cult of personality that we watch them anyway, even if they're not good. I think that's true. So I do think, like, you could argue they're overhyped. Yes. I think that they get way more eyeballs than they should for a team that's probably around 500.
Overhyped, I'll give you that. Irrelevant, though? See, that's where I can't get there.
But is it a 500 team by definition irrelevant? Well, so what? That's what Feinbaum is saying, and there is a logic there.
Yeah, I just don't... I can't go down the road with them because, again, it's... Deion is the program, and if you're saying Deion's relevant, then I think ipso facto the program's relevant, and also I think Shador makes this even more relevant because I think there is a tune-in factor. Even if you're not expecting him to win a title, you're still looking at him as this great prospect. It's kind of odd. Like, if we had known then what we know now, we all would have watched every Texas Tech game that Patrick Mahomes played in, but we didn't know what he was going to end up becoming because there were questions about whether he was just a product of the spread offense or whatever. Now we're watching a guy who we know is going to be going really high. His team might not be great, but we know he's going to be good. Just like you would have tuned in for USC games last year for Caleb Williams, even though USC didn't have a chance to sniff a national title.
Yeah, but I don't think that...
No one says USC was irrelevant.
Right. But so, like, Jaden Daniels went number two. We watch LSU because they were LSU. But I don't think, like, you don't tune in just because the guys are in high. Like, for example, Carson Beck could easily go one and Shador two. Like, we're not like, oh, man, I got to make sure I'm at a TV to watch Carson Beck. Are we? I mean, I'd like to meet the person who's like, hey, I'm going to cancel all my plans. Carson Beck is slinking around for Georgia. That'd be crazy because, first of all, he just doesn't play like that. He's not going to throw 40 touchdowns. I don't know if we get that hyped about that. It's Deion. Come on. You know it's Deion. It's not Shador being the number one pick.
I think it's both.
I don't think so at all. But I think next year, I think Deion is still going to get the eyeballs. He's so interesting.
Yeah, I guess the idea that they're irrelevant, I can't get there with Paul Feinbaum. But anyway, interesting. Think about 855-212-4227. Do you consider Colorado irrelevant in the national college football landscape? Okay, lots to do, including a certain quarterback is top 10, but does his team want him?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.